Father, we come before you again this morning, and we thank you for this day, for this hour, for this time to be in the house of God. There's nowhere we can spend our time any better in 2009 than be in the house of God when the doors are open. And we pray the table be set here each time, from a Sunday school class to each one of the church assemblies until the assembly here in the auditorium. That God could be honored, our hearts be fed. We go back into the world and be the vessel that God have us to be until Jesus comes for the church. And we'll thank you what you do for us today to help us grow in grace and knowledge as we open this precious book, the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, everybody, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49. I'm going to read verse 22. And then I want to go to chapter 62 of Isaiah. We're going to about four places. And then I'll give you the title. Verse 22 of chapter 49. God said, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms." Watch these two words, "my standards." God said, notice who is he going to do it to. He said, "I will lift my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standards." Now, when he raised Israel up, he gave Israel his standards. He gave it through the law. He gave it through the hand of Moses. And then when they broke his standards, he made a way that where they in turn could have fellowship with God by meeting the criteria that God set in the Levitical system, by giving the correct sacrifices, working within the rings that God had set up, or the realm that God had set up, by letting the priesthood, the tribe of Levi, be priesthood, which in turn took care of the tabernacle and later the temple, that they could have fellowship with God when they broke God's law. But he said, now I'm going to do something among the Gentiles. And this is what he's talking about. He said, I'll set my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard. Notice he said, my standard. You hear that? He's not talking about the individual person. He's talking about God's standard. I'll set up my standard. Remember this now. I'll set up my standards to the people, and they shall bring their sons in their arms, notice, and their daughters, he said, shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens by their nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee, and with their face towards the earth, and lick the dust of thy feet. Amen, amen. Don't look like the world's licking the dust of Israel's feet today, does it? They're trying their best to wipe them out. Hey, they can never do it. They can never do it. But God says there's coming a time, 700 years plus before Jesus came, 2,700 years ago, he said there's coming a time that when the nations of the world will come and bring their daughters, on thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. They're not going to be fighting them. They're going to be nursing them. They're going to be looking after them. They're going to be taking care of them. And he said, not only that, the kings shall be thy nursing fathers, the queens, and they shall bow down to thee with thy face to the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Why is God going to do this? Because he said, not only Israel, but also the Gentile nations will know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. I'm glad God makes that promise. This world looks at us and thinks that we are like, as Paul said, one time, as he talked in 1 Corinthians 4:13, we're like the filth of the earth. Israel itself was despised. Go back a few verses before this and you'll find that they were actually despised in verse 7. And look like the world's going to annihilate them. The world can talk about annihilating them. But they can never do this. God has made a promise. See, God's in the I am, in the now. He lives in the present tense all the time. And therefore, what he says is going to happen. Because when many are dead and gone in time, he'll still be here. And his promises are true. And so here he gives a great promise. Now look, if we will, in chapter 62 of the book of Isaiah. A couple other verses quickly that set the tape. Chapter 62. If you look down about verse 10. He says, now go through to Israel. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard. Notice, for the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, not scandals and infidels. They shall call them the holy people. Again, notice the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Instead of trying to destroy the city, they're going to seek the city because it represents God, and they know that He only one has the answers for life. Look with me, if you will, in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 50. In Jeremiah chapter 50, look down about verse 2. He said, declare ye among the nations now. Again. Jeremiah, declare ye among the nations. And publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Baal is confronted. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. Look in chapter 62 for the last verse in verse 12. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Isn't it interesting? Not only is he set up in Israel, not only is he crying out as far as the nations, he's going to set up, but now he's talking about Babylon. Babylon has come in, conquered Israel, brought all them in for years, from 75 to 100 50 years now, they've been in the land and got adjusted to a new standard, left God out. And now he said, but wait a minute, Babylon, you go back a few verses before this and you'll find. He said, verse 11, make bright the hours against the shield of the Lord, have raised up the spirit of the kings of Medes for their device against Babylon to destroy her. He said, set up a new standard in Babylon. The old standard is not good enough for God. It's anti-God, it's paganism. Set up a new standard, he says, upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchman. Prepare the ambush. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. Verse 27, set up a standard in the land. I want to talk about God's standard this morning. God's standard, ladies and gentlemen. If the world would understand that God has a standard, he's not going to change it for nobody. By the way, you understand that. You see, when you talk about a standard, standard is a sign or a flag or a type of banner about who you are, what you stand for, how you do things. You have a standard for your home. Every time a young person leaves his mother and dad and finds a wife and cleaves to her and starts a new identity called the home, you have a standard. It won't be just like your parents. Now, hopefully some things that you got from your parents will help you set up your standard. But your standard won't be exactly like what it was where you was at before, but there's a lot of things you could use which would help you make your home better, hopefully. But everyone in there has a home. You have a standard. Now, if you had someone come in from outside of your home who's going to live with you, and they didn't want to meet your standards, that wouldn't go too well, would it? I mean, you don't come outside into a home and set up a new standard for a family that already has a standard. What you end up doing, you see, they come in and say, well, you know, we have to go to school, get up at 6 o'clock, go to school, but I don't like to do that. Where I went to school, I didn't have to get up at 7. Makes no deal. I tell you what, how about taking your children to school and come back and get me, changing the standard? They said, no, you get up. You're going to be riding in the car. You walk yourself and not go this morning. You're not going to come in here and change our standard. Our standard's already set. I'm trying to give you an idea how this works. A standard is something in turn that has brought about a guidance to you as a family. And every community has a standard. Every state has a standard. You look at the states we have in America, every one of them have different way they apply things. And every nation has a standard. And it goes right on up. By the way, God has a standard. And there's not a nation in this world would change its standard just because a people come in who were not part of that nation, who became part of that nation. Not a nation in the world would change their standard unless it's America. And I say to you, God has a standard. God's standard is very, very important. In the service, everybody did not have their own standard. One thing I learned to start with first time I got into the service, in the guard. Back in the 50s, and first time I went on training camp, you don't get up when you want to get up. You don't go to bed when you want to go to bed. How many here understand what I'm talking about? I mean, listen, you say, well, when you hear a horn blow early in the morning at 4:30, you get up. Well, I don't want to get up. I'm used to get up at 7:30. You've changed now, son. I'm your boss. That's what they tell you. You're not your own now. I'm yours. You will do what the United States of America set for you to do. You get up when we say get up. You eat when we say eat. You do those things that we say do. We have a standard that you have to go by. You say, I don't like that. You can't change it. You go in. Now, when you think about those things, I remember that when I joined years ago, we were in Ancraft in the late 50s. And then all of a sudden, because the weapon and arsenal changed, that they began to move in the rocket age, and so they changed us to the 1st Brigade, 119th Infantry. And we were fixing to go to Vietnam. And because we had been changed over into infantry from an aircraft, we hadn't trained enough as of yet, so some company in Kentucky went instead of us. By the way, pray for Benson, that unit that I was in, which now has been transferred into a transportation unit, is fixing to go to Iraq. They're loading up this week to go to Iraq. We need to pray for our boys from Johnson County, folks. They're headed to Iraq. You see it on the news? If not, I heard it 2 weeks ago. Seen on the news last night. In the next few weeks, they go into a certain place for the final training to head to for Iraq. What I'm saying to you, though, that when you get into the Army of the United States of America, you don't change the standard. It was already set before you get there. Already set before you get there. And I think about the things that they said do. I learned a lot through the years. Talking about when you work for a company, you go in and you have to work according to their standards. If not, you won't have a job. I was thinking about, and I taught a lot of things on the farm years ago, that when you work hard for the person you work for. And when I was in the service, I did the same thing. As a matter of fact, I go back and live. In October 1962, I was awarded a Soldier of the Year in my brigade, the 119th Infantry, the 1st Brigade. And it was given to me in Kinston, North Carolina. I thank God for that. But I didn't do that to do it. I just did what I had to do when I did it. And out of that year, they gave me the Soldier of the Year award. Now, but I had to do it according to their standard. You see? And boy, I could tell you some stories there, but we'll move on. What I'm saying to you is, in the service, everybody did not have their own standard. In all had one standard. This was established before a person came there. And God's standards are very important, ladies and gentlemen. And I say this morning, listen, our arms as America is open to anyone who want to come here. People think about this as a utopia place. They get here and find out it's not quite as utopia as they think it was. But when you don't have anything and you're in a different place and hear about America, it's like the great land on earth to come to. And we say, yes, the arms are open. Yes, if our government allows one to come in, yes. But when you come here, you don't change the standard.
Yeah, that's right.
It's already changed before you get here. And therefore, if you come in from somewhere else, and I say this on the radio, and I say this because I believe I have the freedom, the right to say this, our arms are open to love this world, and we invite you to come, but when you come here, you don't change the standard. You come bringing your standard with you, and when you get here, there must have been something wrong with your standard to come to start with, so why would you come and try to change it like you had it before you got here? We don't want that. We want what God gave us. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God's standard were incorporated into our standard in America in the Constitution.
Amen.
Our Constitution is in the standard of what God sets forth in our early fathers.
Amen.
And so, God's standards are very important. When you come into a country or city, you have to meet the standard because you're not, but you have to meet those standards. You may not like them, but the standards is not changed just because you don't like them. Our standards are what made America great, and they will keep us great if we'll follow them.
Amen.
Because they're God-centered. When you're in the service, where you're training, whether you're in the parade field, where you're just marching, or in a battle, we always had the American flag. We always had our brigade flag, the infantry 119th. And I can remember through the times of training, they say, always watch the flag bearer. If he goes down in war, you stop what you're doing and you get that flag and you hold it high.
Amen.
You hold it high. The flag will rally. People will rally around that. That was our banner. And every brigade, every battalion, every infantry had their flag, which was their banner. It told them what they were involved in, what they were doing. And even to some degree, people knew what it was that was around that particular flag. You see, you may not like the standard, but the standard's not changed just because you don't like them, and it's the same with God. Now, God's standards are His holy book. We have it here before us. It seems that when one cannot change the standard, what they want to do is try their best to change the book that the standards are in. And that's where we're at today. I'm talking about God's standard. Hey, I've got news for you. God don't have to change His standards right to start with. He's perfect in what He does. And so when I look at this event and I see what God has sent to Israel, and I can see it rides over to us when we get to the church and what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems that when one cannot change the standard, one tries to change the book that the standard is in. Anytime one passes through the gates of Babylon as a conquered being, they have to change and commit to the standard of Babylon. Anytime anyone went into the gates of Jerusalem, they had to change and commit to the standards of Jerusalem. Anytime that Israel was conquered and had to be taken to Babylon, she had to conform to what the Babylonians said. Thank God there were some, though, still believed God, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my mind went blank there. Well, they were there. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking about them. And Daniel. Daniel, who I was thinking about there. Daniel. These are men. Yeah, these men were taken. They were well men. And by the, thank you, Lord. I did get the first three right, too. They all were taken down there. But they did not bow down and pray like the others did. Most did. Evidently, all did except those four when it came to that particular time. So anytime one passed through the gates of these, you had to follow their standard. Look in Isaiah chapter 62, what God said about His people. He said in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 12, He said to them, He said, they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. That's interesting. Redeemed of the Lord. And these are the people that they will seek out. They're not seeking that out now. I guarantee you this world's not seeking out the redeemed today. The only way they'd be seeking them is try to destroy them. But He says it's coming a day. They're going to seek out the redeemed. And Israel's going to be called a holy people by those of the world. God wants us to associate with such and learn His standard through them. The only thing about it is the standard today. May I give you His standard? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the standard today. And you can follow Him and be sure it's right, because He's the only one you find wherever God ever says is my Son who I'm well pleased with. So He is the standard today. This means that self-centered should not be in our focus. It means that others should always be in our focus. Brother Alford was talking about this morning. Our goal this morning, this year, ought to be trying to reach the lost for Christ. It ought to be that's the thing that we look at. Here the Gentiles will see. Look in verse 2, if you will. He said, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. Isn't that amazing? He said, when you obey what I say do, then the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. We know we have no righteousness. Isaiah says like 50 rags. But when you obey God and God's righteousness shines through you, God said, He don't mind saying it's your righteousness. They shall see your right. That's all they know. They can't see God. They see you. They don't see how God's behind it, but they know there's something different. They call it thy righteousness. So He gives us the same word. They shall see thy righteousness, O King, the King's thy glory, and they shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. He said, thou shalt also bear a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand. Isn't that amazing? The world says we're like filth, and God says, one day you're going to be a royal diadem for me.
Amen.
I made you that. You're going to have the royal garment of righteousness in a glorified body. God will give you a new name.
Amen.
When you get on the other side.
Right.
I'm talking about God's standard this morning. You see, again, here the Gentiles shall see. The word see is right here. It means to gaze, to perceive, to become aware. It's not just observation. It's going to be a deep motive to see and want what is going on there. And we must face the fact that we're in the midst of a spiritual world that is dominated by a material world here. Materialism will try to change the standard of God. Now, I'll give you three quick points of this message. Number one is this. It is not always easy to respond to God's call or God's standard. We come into a world that we adjust very easily to the standard of the world. All of us come adjust to that before we ever get saved, born into the family of God. Yet the ones who renounce the worldly ambition for the sake of the gospel, if God requires to be renounced, their rewards is coming. We may be We may be made the filth of this world, like Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We may be called the Oscarian of all things. We may be like the Apostle Paul in Acts 22:22, when they said it is not fit that he should live. We may be find ourselves if we stand upon God's standard. The world characterize us and define us such a way as that. But I want you to know what a privilege it is to serve the living God. Our work will be forever eternally rewarded one day. And they will lose out. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way of the Lord in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. And he ended up in Matthew chapter 14. He lost his head, but he still won. Amen. In this world's eyes, they evaluate things different than you and I. You see, again, the Bible does not ever leave out the human will with Christ, though. I guarantee you, John had to make a lot of decisions, but he made it confined to God's will rather than his own will. The human will must be taken into account either willingly or unwillingly. For instance, salvation is entirely of God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's a gift of God. On the other hand, for instance, to be lost eternity is a man's own free will, because he refuses to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus, is, as a person, created your peace when you trusted Him. When you and I trusted Christ as Savior, He created the peace for us that we can have peace with God and peace of God if we obey Him as we trust Him as Savior. Jesus' principles, those create your prosperity as you serve Him. When we trust Him as Savior, He has created peace for us with God. When we actually serve Him, then He has created principles of service and created for us that He rewards us for that. And in both of these cases, the human will is involved. Human will to believe what God said about His Son. Human will says about what God said about service unto His Son. At the beginning of the Babylonian captivity, it amazes me. When Babylon went in and captured Israel, they didn't want to go, but they had no choice. They were slaves. Then you go back and you see in Ezra and Nehemiah at the beginning of the captivity, those captives hated the distasteful circumstances they were in at that time. But by the time you get to 75 to 100 50 years later, in the time between Ezra and Nehemiah's time, and they're getting ready to go back now by God into the land, most of them didn't want to go. Only a remnant went back. Just a remnant. Out of the millions that went, or thousands and millions that went into captivity at that time. Why? A new generation grew up under a different standard on an alien soil. They'd hear what God's standard was, but they came up in a new standard. And the new standard satisfied the flesh better than God's standard. God's standard satisfied the soul. And you'll come out in the end results better. But the flesh only gives something temporary.
Amen. That's right.
And so what we're seeing here at this time, children grew up with closed ties and friendship for business and pleasure and imitating Babylon's ways. And as they did this, they grew to like Babylon's standard more than the father's standard from God when they came out of Palestine. In fact, many of these didn't even know what that standard was, except they should have been passed on by their parents, but the parents died off. Everybody didn't do that. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly where America is right now. We have a generation coming up now that don't know much about the old standard ways. And they don't know how to make a differential between that which is holy and that which is not. And if things going well, they got this psychological thought that God must be blessing. God must be blessing. I've got news for you. God had better give us discernment to know when Satan has deceived us and when God has blessed us.
That's right.
We need to understand that. I'm talking about God's standard. You won't hear much about this today because we have this mentality that God is anybody's standard he wants him to be. He's to you what you think he is. No, he's not. God has a right to set his standard. God has a right to do that. And God has a right to demand us to meet that standard. Because it's his standard. We don't come into the family of God and say, well, God, you're going to be good. You got me now. We're going to change a few things. No, you're going to change. If you come into God's family, you're going to change. Got to see to that. And I will change. And some will change a lot more maybe than others. But we all will change. So I'm telling you, responding to God's standard is not always easy when raised under a different standard. Second thing, the reason for that is the seduction of sin is very destructive. It don't seem like. Sins seem to be pleasure for a season. But it's very destructive. Sin changes one's status in life. Sin changes serenity into struggle. Genesis 3:15. God says there's going to be a great battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Sin changes security into sorrow. Genesis 3:16. A woman would have sorrow in childbearing. Sin changes selection into shame. In Genesis 3:17-19, he said, the ground is cursed, and you till the ground with the sweat of your brow. You see, Adam listened to the wrong counsel rather than listen to God's command. It is God who commanded Adam what to do. Satan came along and tried to counsel him to not do it. And when you look at the difference, obedience is needed when God said something. It's not counseling. When God tells us something, we need to be obedient to it.
Amen.
Now, if we're not, it's good to have good godly counseling. But God is not looking for... He'd rather for us to be obedient to Him than to go seeking counsel in this world. So it's important. You see, this caused Adam to lose control of the world. It brought disorder into creation. And the disorder of the creation is the curse that came upon man because of what Adam did and Eve. And again, Adam was reminded of his past performance. Death of the creatures of God is the conclusion of the curse for those who disobey Him. Thank God Jesus came along and offered His life. Adam's reminded of his past formation. He's reminded of his present frailty. He's reminded of his promised fate in Genesis 3:19. He said, you're going to till the ground the rest of your life, sweat of your brow. Taking care of the garden was easy compared to what it's going to be now because of the curse of sin. So responding to God's standard is not always easy when raised under a different standard. And the reason for that, the seduction of sin is destructive. But we don't see it until it's too late. Number three is this, God's way is life. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God's way is life. He knows more than we know. I'm sorry if that blows some intellectual's bubble. He knows more than we know. God's way is life. This is His standard. A life not controlled by sin. A life without darkness. A life without death and suffering and a curse. A life without separation. Revelation 21:3-4. Look what, there is no more death, no more sorrow, and so forth. John tells us in that vision. So how could Israel rise above her enemies at this time when God said this, when it didn't look all that good for them? God has a standard. And His standard will come out on top all the time. The same is true with God's people today. I mean, this world looks at us as a filth of the earth also. This world cares nothing about Christianity. I mean, old Charles Barkley this week got caught and drunk and so forth, and he had a lot of things to say about Christians and what they were, and he didn't care much for them. You might see that. Hey, say all you want to. We're going to win. You know why? Our commander-in-chief has already won the war. He satisfied God the Father. I mean, the true God. We don't have to worry. Don't have to worry about that end of it. The Holy Spirit helps us to make a path to God. When Babylon opened her gates to let Israel go back to Palestine, confusion set in. A remnant went back. Most did not. Confusion set in, but it won't by God. God's determination and God's direction had been given and opened a way for those people in that time. Babylon is the type of the world for the Christian in our particular day. Someone must go out the gates and prepare their way back home. Look in Isaiah 62 again. If you look down in verse 10, he said, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stone. Lift up a standard for the people. Interesting to me, I used to think of how in the world did wagon trains go west years ago with so much trees and so forth. And I've seen a historical thing about it one time. And they had cutters that went before them. Do you know that? I didn't know that. I thought they tried to find the best route. Well, they did, but they had to cut a lot of trees down. And they'd go, if cutters go in front of them, and cut trees down so low to the ground so the wagons could go over them. What they were doing, making a pathway to the west. Well, here, God is saying years ago, He said, listen, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I come within these walls here, Jesus Christ has opened a way to safety for people. We must not just come within these walls of the church and sit down within the walls only. Because there's a path out there the world needs to know about. And it's Jesus Christ. And it's God has predetermined to use us as His children till He comes back to go out there, even as John said, before Jesus came, prepare ye to meet the Lord. because he's given us the directions of that path. We ought to be removing the stumbling blocks out of the way instead of creating them. That's the reason we want to dress right, act right. We want to be what we are Christians. You don't get a lot of amens for that these days, but it's Bible. We need to be who we are. So when people look at us, we don't have to say, "Hey, I'm a Christian." They say, "There goes a Christian." What I'm saying to you, God has a standard. And he expects his people to see to that standard. We must not. Our standard should be seen beyond these walls. Our standard should be and must be God's standard. How can you get that? You can't get it reading it 15 minutes a week. You can't get it looking at it and having it sitting on a coffee table. It takes studying. That's wearisome. But it takes studying, ladies and gentlemen, for us to understand what God's standard is. Our standard should be seen beyond these walls. I believe that as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when God called me, I believe as a Bible-believing Christian, when God called you and saved your heart and soul, I believe that as in these positions that we are given a position to be stationed on the church wall to cry out a standard, which is God's standard, which we have actually brought ourselves to be obedient to rather than creating your own standard. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very easy for the religion in the world to create different standards. That's the reason they don't know what each other believes. And they say, "Well, you believe what you believe, and we believe what we believe, and we'll get along. Just don't come over the wall and try to make us believe each other's belief." But our instruction is not that way. We must go forth. Jesus Christ is the only way of life. My life must move stumbling stones in the way. I must see to it, as Israel was to remove the stones and ways back to Jerusalem. When you head back to the city, get some men out front. Get all the boulders out of the way. Open up the path so they can get back to Jerusalem to do what God said do. We should be sure that nothing in our lives become a stumbling stone to someone in this world who we're trying to point back to the Lord Jesus, or point to the Lord Jesus Christ to get back to that which God has restored us, capable of being restored to. In Jesus Christ, we ought to open our lives so God could use it for His glory. And I believe we're all on the wall as a standard. God has put us there. Let me say something that's very important in closing. If you're not saved, God has put this church here for you.
Amen.
That's our message.
That's right.
We listen. Thank God for people get saved. You know, I'd love to have every member we led to the Lord through the years. We don't. I'd love to have His members. But one thing is for sure. You need to be born again. Now, I believe you can't begin to understand what you need as a church until you are born again. The Holy Spirit will lead you. And I've learned this. What I finish doing, hear me now. Hear me. What I finish doing is just as important as what I began doing when it comes to God. It's important. God helped me to understand. Many began, then they quit. Down the road somewhere or another. If you start, then quit, you've changed your standard. Now, physical, they say things you can't do. They come, and I've looked in the rest homes, and I thought, "Lord, I don't know what I'd do if I was in bed and couldn't do anything at all. I couldn't go." But somehow or another, I'd do something. I'd become a prayer warrior. Or I'd get people to come, bring people around my bed if I could think and try to teach somebody. I'd want to do something for the glory of God. I can't quit. I must finish what was started. If you begin to change what it is that God would have you do, you're changing the standard. Now, you can change places the same standard. You can do that. But God, I'm not talking about that. God puts us everywhere. He knows where His people need it. And people can be used anywhere. And God got three, He gives gifts to the church. Pastor, teachers, evangelists, these things. He gives gifts to the church. But I'm talking about if you begin to change the standard, it leads you away from God. That's the only way to do it. God will not change His standard to lead you away from Him. You have to change it yourself. And what happens if you lead away from Him, if you're not finishing what you started in some capacity of serving God somewhere or another, ladies and gentlemen, be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror. Be honest. If God Almighty has moved you and put you in a place where you can serve worldwide or a little community in the dark valley of the hills of West Virginia, you may have two or three ministering to you. That's where God would have you be. You're in the center of God's will. your reward will be just as great if someone reaches 5,000. But what I'm saying to you is, if we allow Satan to change our standard that we have learned from God, because God has changed our standard when we got saved, we learned from the world. If we allow that to happen, we find ourselves coming up short. And God would be crying, raise up a standard! Fellowship, never let the standard fall! Never let it fall! Never let it fall! Hold up the standard! I don't care if the world don't care! I don't care if everybody walks out! Hold up the standard!
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the standard. He's the standard. And that's what we're trying to do, hold up the standard. We enjoyed last Wednesday night, had a great time. I thank you. Some people said it's one of the greatest service we've ever been in. Because we came in, we laughed, we had a good time in fellowship. We saw some things going on in the other churches. And then Dr. Lee brought a tremendous message. Man, you can't ask. You got everything in life at that time coming at you at one time. Joy, happiness, routine of what's happening in the church, and a message that came from God about life. What a joy. What a joy. If you're here this morning, fellowship, trying to hold the standard. Lift him high. Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, we give the invitation right now. Again, have prayer, musician, come run on. If you're not saved, there's somebody here, a man will take a man, a woman, with you, whatever. If you want to talk to someone about the Lord, we'll talk to you from the Scripture. We don't talk about the Scriptures. We'll talk to you from the Scriptures about how you can be saved. This morning, would you stand to your feet, please? Our Father, I want to thank you again for the precious Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that these things are for our learning here as we go and look at God dealing with Israel. And the promise He made, I'm sure at times it looked like in Babylon, the best thing to do, probably the whole thinking, the whole philosophy of most people, well, might as well just enjoy the Babylonian way and go over to it, because it looks like we're going to be slaves from now on. Then God raises His men up and says to them, no, my promise is sure and steadfast. There's coming a day before long, down through the centuries, you're not going to be the one that's under the foot. Hey, you may not see it as your individual, but your descendants will. There's coming a day, because of my promise to you, that the world will bow at the feet in the dust to my people. And the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, will rule and reign. My promises are sure. I understand you have that heartache. I understand that you have that rebellion. I understand that there's those enemies against you. I understand many times you're crying rather than rejoicing. I understand all hell seemed to break out sometime. I understand. Let me assure you, I understand that. But I'm still in control. They may put you in a bag and throw you in the waters they did in years past. Put you in the arenas of Rome and make fun and sport out of you. They may do that, but they're not going to win. What I've got for you, and Paul described it, is way much better than any type of experience we face here in suffering. God's reward is sure. God, we start in this year, please help us not only know your standard, but raise it high for the glory of God. Any preacher worth his salt would give this to his people to start out, and that's my desire. Lord, this is not to hurt anyone. This is to let us see that God has a standard. And no way will we let someone come into our home and change our standard if we had the power to keep them from doing it. Neither will God. We must be transformed so He can conform us to His standard. And that'll be a lifetime. We'll never reach it in utopia, but every day it'll be a learning ground for us, a growing ground in grace and knowledge. Now we come back to this reality, Lord, that Jesus is still saving that which He came to seek and to save. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. If there's one here who don't know Jesus as Savior, let this be the day of the awakening. by the power of the Spirit of God. And we'll thank you either here or by radio in a few minutes. This message is heard, or Lord, on the other churches going on these facilities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.